You've been ransomwared. You paid the hacker to get your data back, and now you're asking your insurance company to cover the amount you had to pay to recover your data. Problem is, your insurance company won't pay. Well, now what? Well, now you fight like hell. Welcome to the first episode of the Cybersecurity Bradcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Cybersecurity Bradcast. Now, this is a sister podcast to the award-winning Technology Bradcast, which, as you know, is exclusively for MSPs and service providers. But this podcast is devoted to educating companies everywhere about the issues involved in cybersecurity. And there are a lot of those. There's legal, like laws, cases, regulations. There's also a lot of business involved in cybersecurity, like vendor agreements, allocating responsibilities, incident response plans, and insurance. So if cybersecurity is something you want to take seriously, and you absolutely should, then you need to subscribe and listen up. So for today, the first episode, we're going to hit the issue of insurance. Not necessarily the importance of insurance. I mean, insurance is crucial, and you need to have coverage at all times. But I'm going to instead focus on the vexing issue that companies face after they have been ransomwared and they're looking for insurance coverage. It's a hot issue, so let's get started. Your relationship with your insurance company is based on your contract or, you know, your policy. That's your contract with your insurance company. So if your policy says you're entitled to coverage, then you should be covered. And if a particular incident is excluded from coverage, then you're out of luck, right? That's how it goes. Not so much. Most insurance cases aren't that simple or clear cut. If you've been involved in an insurance case, if you've tried to get coverage and it's been denied, you know what I'm talking about. These cases involve nuances and interpretations, and the companies always want these things to be ironed out before they either deny coverage or provide coverage. And some of the most frustrating and expensive battles between companies and their insurance companies involve reimbursement of money that was used to pay a hacker's ransom. This type of thing happens more frequently than you might think. A recent case from California illustrates the problem. There's a property management company called Ernst & Haas, and they're located in Long Beach, California. In 2012, they purchased a commercial crime insurance policy from an insurance company called Hiscox. The policy purportedly covered computer fraud and fund transfer fraud. So this is the same type of coverage that many companies, maybe even your own company, purchases to protect it if you accidentally suffer financial losses due to a computer hack or due to a computer phishing campaign. The scope of their coverage would be tested a few years later when, in 2019, Ernst & Haas suffered a computer fraud-related loss. So that's where our discussion begins. In March 2019, an employee of Ernst & Haas receives an email that purports to be from her boss, and it directs her to make a payment by wire transfer to a foreign company. A big payment, 50 grand. Believing the email to be from her boss, the employee processed the wire transfer, and the $50,000 vanished into the ether. Gone. The money was deposited to some bank in a foreign jurisdiction, and that money was not going to be recovered. And it gets worse. After the first transfer, the employee received two more fake emails directing her to make payments of $150,000 and $470,000, all of which she made, again, thinking that these were legitimate emails, authorized transfers. And by the time she realized what was going on, it was too late to stop the $50,000 and the $150,000 transfers. So $200,000 was out of her reach, irrecoverable. Ernst & Haas put in an insurance claim for the losses, but Hiscox denied those claims, saying that the insurance policy only covered direct losses. So, you might be sitting there thinking, wasn't the payment of $200,000 a direct loss? No. No, said the insurance company. The insurance company took the position that the policy only covered losses that happened directly from an insurable event. Directly from an insurable event. And the insurance company said that because the employee initiated the wire transfers, those transfers didn't get initiated automatically. They took some input, some action from the employee. And because the employee did that, the loss did not take place as a direct result of an insurable event. Now, follow me here. The insurance company said that the $200,000 in payments were not made because of an insurable occurrence. They were made because the employee made the decision to pay the fake invoices, which itself is not an insurable occurrence. So essentially, the insurance company's argument was, if the hacker hacked into the company's accounts and withdrew the money directly, well, that would have been a direct loss. But here, because the employee was duped into approving the payments, that was an indirect loss and not insurable. Believe it or not, the trial court agreed with the insurance company. The trial court actually agreed that a direct loss was limited to situations like hacking and not where an employee is duped into doing something that causes a loss later on. But you know who didn't agree with the insurance company? The appellate court, the Ninth Circuit. They heard the appeal and conclusively and unanimously reversed the trial court and found that the insurance company had to cover Ernst & Haas's losses, and it found that those were direct losses. And that makes sense, right? By the way, the situation I just described is not unique. It is happening in courtrooms all over the country. There's a case exactly on this point out of Indiana called the G&G Oil case. So contact me if you want that court decision. There's another case on this point, directly on this point, out of Oregon, handed down just a few weeks ago, called the Yoshida Foods case. Again, contact me if you want that decision. So what's the takeaway here? What's the lesson that every company who experiences a ransomware attack should learn from this discussion? Here's the takeaway. Insurance coverage is a creature of contract interpretation, so make sure that you understand what your policy will and will not cover. This requires every company, including yours, to undertake a legal review of its policies, to have a full insurance audit, to ensure that the coverage that the company purchased is and will be the coverage that the company receives if ransomware happens. And if your insurance company isn't covering your ransomware payment, let me know. We should talk. You may have options, lots of good options. Questions, comments, you know what to do. Send an email to brad@bradleygross.com or call us at 954-217-6225. Thank you for joining us on the first episode of the Cybersecurity Bradcast, and we'll see you next time.